Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Great to catch up with Pastor Wirth. Talk about that the Creation movie, The Riot and the Dance.
Yeah.
And
those animals are really fun to watch.
And creepy. Yes, they're either cute or creepy. I couldn't handle the cobras.
The thread snake was my favorite. It's just so cool.
Yeah. I remember seeing something like that. I don't know if they were specifically thread snakes when I was a kid. I remember seeing those and they were...
I don't know if I would like it in real life.
Campground when you're around water. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, in real life, don't want to see
on
that.
On a screen, it was really cool.
Well, speaking of Pastor Wirth, there are many pastors I'm grateful for and the ways that they serve our congregations. And some serve in a very unique setting, serve two parishes, dual parish, or maybe even more.
Yeah.
Some serve tri-parish. I know.
And with the Northeast Kansas Partnership, too. I think, I don't know how many that is, actually.
Multiple congregations. How do you, how do you make that work? What are the blessings? What are the benefits? What are the challenges that dual parish pastors face and those, the members of the congregation as well? Joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Philip Hoppe. He's pastor at Peace Lutheran Church in Finlayson, Minnesota, and St. Paul Lutheran Church in Bruno, Minnesota. He's been a regular guest here on KFUO. Pastor Hoppe, welcome back.
Hey, glad to be back with you this morning.
Thanks so much for being our guest, talking about dual parish life. What did you? What were your thoughts about dual parish ministry before you received this call to Peace in St. Paul?
Well, it's something that you know is very. I guess you know you watched other people do it, and then you sort of wonder what it would be like to be in that situation yourself. And I think you know there's. You wonder just about the kind of logistics of it, right? How does it work on an average week? How do you make sure that you're serving both congregations and kind of meeting the expectations of both congregations? And then there's just you know kind of the probably one of the other things I was worried about was you know. Is there any, what do you want to say, not rivalry, but, you know, between the two congregations, right, where it's sort of, you know, oh, well, you know, pastor's over there, you know, five more minutes a week than he's over here or something like that. That was kind of a fear going in, and then also just, you know, how does that match or how does that impact life outside of the vocation of pastors, so with family and things like that. Obviously, you know, you end up duplicating a lot of things. So how does that end up impacting kind of just your schedule and your life during the week?
Sure. What do Sundays look like? What does the rest of the week look like for you, for your family, for your congregations as well? All good questions. See what we can cram in here in the next, what we can cover in the next few minutes. So how do you do that? How do you address the needs and the expectations of essentially two congregations or two parishes? They might be one congregation in some sense, but for many, in many senses, they're two congregations, maybe even two different communities, two cultures sometimes, you know, that each community can have its own culture. How do you address and serve the needs and expectations of both congregations when you're in this dual parish setting?
Well, I think it is both. Blessing and challenge, right? What you talked about as far as, I mean, you are dealing with two different kind of cultures of congregations, two different communities, which is at times, you know, a blessing. It can kind of be nice, quite frankly, at some times to be able to leave one setting, right, and kind of jump into the other for a while, kind of refresh your mind and your spirit, right, and then jump back in. That can kind of be a refreshing kind of thing, but at the same time, you know, there can be challenges. Even, you know, a lot of the work, like I said, you do is duplication, right? You're going to write one sermon and preach it at both places, which to me going in, I thought that would kind of be the easiest part about it, right? You write one sermon, you preach it at both places, but the more you get to know your congregations, you recognize as a pastor how your sermons and things are aimed at an audience, right? And you're kind of writing maybe at one time with one congregation and their particular needs in mind, and you can kind of get to the other place and think, well, I mean, this is true. It's God's word. It's true, but it's not maybe as directly applicable to the situation right now here. So that's kind of a challenge. But like I said, you do duplicate a lot of things. I mean, I have during most of the year, we have an evening Bible study, and I end up between my two congregations doing that same Bible study three times each week, right? And sometimes it's, you know, by the third time, I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't know whether we talked about this or not. I've done this several times, so. But you do a lot of that. But and again, that can, you know, sometimes it can be like, okay, you know, I'm done with this. Let's move on. But other times, it's real interesting to hear how different people respond to the same text, the same message, the same study. You get a much broader kind of view of things, I think.
How far apart are your two congregations?
My two congregations are about, I think it's 17 miles apart, or about that, you know. Luckily, I've got a beautiful drive between the two, so a lot of kind of forested areas and a river to go over, so it's kind of a nice drive that I don't get sick of, but...
Over the river and through the woods.
There you go. Exactly. So, I mean, it's probably, you know, about as far as I would think I'd want to go, but I know there's lots of guys that do, mm-hmm. gosh, you know, congregations that are 30, 40 miles apart. Mm-hmm. So, but for me, it's kind of at that part where it's not, you know, it's not when I drive to go over there, I think, oh, no, what a, you know, terribly long drive.
Sure. Do your congregations ever have a chance to do anything together? Any fellowship opportunities between the two?
Yeah, we, it's one thing that I really try to want to get more and more of that happening. Right now we do a yearly picnic together, and that kind of falls on the end of our vacation Bible school week, which we also do together. That's kind of our main deal there. We do, we have a lot of things where we'll invite people to, you know, events at one or the other, and we'll get a couple people. It's not, you know, like the whole congregation goes over, but and it's even nice, like last week we had a bunch of snow up here, and one of the congregations ended up, you know, deciding to cancel for the Sunday, and, you know, it's nice to be able to say, hey, if you're able and you have a good four-wheel drive car, we're still having services over at the other congregation, so, you know, you still have an opportunity to worship that's not too far away if you want to get out, so.
How does dual parish life work for a pastor's family? How do you make that work for your family of, what is it, how many are in the Hoppe family?
Six kids, last I checked. I'll count again at the end of the interview. But no,
God bless your wife.
Yeah.
She is a saint. Puts up with you.
It's kind of a, you know, it definitely from my, you know, being in my last congregation, which was a congregation that really didn't have a ton of meetings or anything, or not just a ton of evening activities, and kind of here, like I said, you end up duplicating things, so there are a lot more evenings and stuff when I'm not around. Then the other kind of side of that is that the kids and Jamie try to be involved in both congregations, but it's more of a struggle than I think we thought of when we got here, just from the sense of, you know, Jamie usually teaches Sunday school over here at the congregation by where we live, but then she wants to, you know, be able to go over to worship every once in a while at the other congregation. Well, you know, then that obviously affects Sunday school, and kind of you get, you know, she's found someone that'll fill in, but you lack the consistency there. So it's kind of hard to be a part of two congregations, but it's one thing that people have kind of affirmed here a lot, that they really appreciate that not only me, but my family as well tries to be involved with both both congregations to an extent.
So I'm just picturing you running out of the sanctuary in your alb and loading up the six kids in the vehicle and driving to the other church on Sunday, you know, from one church to the other on Sunday morning. I think that's the typical question for dual parish or multi parish pastors. Do you stay in your alb, or do you take that off before you transition over to the other congregation?
Well, for me, we moved services a little further apart after I got here. So now we're at 9 and 11, which gives me a little bit of time. So usually the alb's off. Usually the only exception there is usually Easter morning. There's usually enough going on, and service is a little longer, and, you know, more people to visit with afterwards. So that can sometimes be a alb on trip. typically I have enough time now, especially, like I said, we kind of shifted about 15 minutes later after I got here, because I just didn't, you know, the other church was always like, well, Pastor, if you're late, you know, we wait for you. And I'm like, well, yeah, but if there are people here that don't know that, it seems a little odd that the pastor never shows up on time. So we've kind of fixed that. But yeah, it can be, you know, and again, I'm up here in Minnesota, so luckily since I've been here, we haven't had a lot of bad weather on Sunday mornings, but that can be a challenge too, right? Getting over there when there's some weather that you have to slow down for.
Absolutely.
I'm still always waiting for the state of Minnesota to pass a law so I can have some sort of a light on top of my car that, you know, I don't have to pay attention to speed limits and things like that. But so far, no go on that. So,
with just about 30 seconds left, what's the biggest joy that you have from serving both of these congregations?
Well, I think it is just you get more people and more more interaction with different kinds of people, and again, different settings. I think that's a wonderful blessing. Again, like I said, just different congregations respond to things differently, think through things differently. So to me, just, like you talked about the trouble of multiplication, but the blessing of that as well.
Our guest today, the Reverend Philip Hoppe, pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Finlayson, Minnesota, and St. Paul Lutheran Church in Bruno, Minnesota. Thanks so much for being our guest today, Pastor.
Hey, glad to be with you guys.
God's blessings. God bless you and all the saints at both your congregations, Peace and St. Paul. Well, that does it for the coffee hour today.
It does. I have a new coffee container. So.
Oh, that's right. We didn't cover that. New coffee container with a confusing lid that you don't know how to use.
But it's bright pink, which makes me really happy.
More coffee hour to come this week. Stick around for Law and Gospel next on KFUO. The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.